And this is what we were saying earlier about fellowship. Coming back to 1 John again, this is why this vital link is so important in our fellowship with the Father and the Son. That if we're not enjoying that fellowship through the Word of God, allowing the Spirit of God to work and take the things of Christ and point them out to us and make them precious to us and correct us in areas that need to be corrected, if that's not happening on an ongoing basis in my life, then the coming of the Lord, quite frankly, will mean very little to me. And so this is why it's so important that this sense of fellowship and this this manner of abiding in Him and His words abiding in us is so vitally important.
You might say that when we fail, being in the good of it, is we thank God for the other verse the brethren has, that the God of peace will preserve spirit, soul, and body at the coming of Christ Jesus. The foundation of God stand is sure. Nothing is going to alter the hope that we have, that we shall be like Him. Not you, not me, not your failures, not my failures. Nothing will alter it. It's just we are challenged from the Word of God is to live a godly way, to live like Christ here in this scene, because we will see later on that the measure of faithfulness will be displayed in a coming day. And nevertheless, the saints have in this session that blessed hope is a source of comfort and encouragement. And this is a very vital thing that we need to take hold of. You know what? Sometimes so many of us, we could be like Job's friends, like Eliphaz and his friends. Instead of being to go someplace and comfort someone that is in trial or tribulation, we might sit, give the person the impression, you know what, you deserve it. But you know what, Eliphaz and his friends didn't have what we have. We could go to a person and tell that person, the Lord is coming. That's all. I can look at a person and tell him, the Lord is coming. In a few words, that whatever you're going through, the Lord is coming. And everything will be taking place. It's a source of comfort. It's a source of encouragement. And this is the believer should be able to enjoy. Nehemiah means the comfort of Jehovah. That you and I are given to enjoy the comfort of God Himself, because God did never be discouraged. Nothing discourages Him. And you and I have a divine person that all are a source of comfort. Our blessed God is the God of all comfort. The Spirit of God is another comforter. That tells me that the Lord Jesus was a comforter. He could look at the woman and say, be of good comfort. Go your way. And dear brethren, we should be able to encourage one another, regardless of the difficult circumstances we might be going through. Look at a brother, look at a sister and say, the Lord is coming. That statement, I can assure you, coming from the heart with the help of the Lord, will encourage the heart of His people.
I think another important point that we need to realize is that as believers, that we have the confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ to live that life daily as He lived. And one of the verses that I think gives us that confidence is that is in Corinthians chapter 5, and it's verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we know that within this verse, we are a new being in Christ. And that gives us the strength daily to walk in His path and not to look back. And as long as we daily realize that we have that power, it really helps us to move ahead. And there's so many aspects of our life that we can correct as well. All those little sins that we do that we need to fix. Sometimes these things don't appear to be important to us, but in that new creation, all of those little sins are pointed out to us, and we need to correct them in a practical way on a daily basis.
One thought that is not written down, but in Thessalonians, there are some in Thessalonica who, in view of the coming of the Lord, decided to not work. And it says, in 2 Thessalonians, this is verse 11, it says, in chapter 3, verse 11, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. So the fact that the Lord's coming does not mean that we sit down and say, you know, let's wait and see what's going on and do nothing. or we're still go about in other people's business. So that's a wrong attitude.
Well, what do we do? Or in a practical sense, in relationship to the coming of the Lord, with regard to banking, insurance, accounts, stockpiling money. You know, these are practical areas that people ask questions about. Well, they say, well, you know, if the Lord's coming, why should I have a bank account saving hundreds of thousands of dollars? So, you know, the question is a practical question. And I have heard an answer to it. I just offer it. We should live and believe like the Lord is coming just now. But we should plan as if maybe his coming is not going to be for another 100 years. In other words, don't get me wrong, we have responsibilities. And because we have responsibilities, we have to be balanced. And understand that, yes, the Lord is coming. But there were people in the last century or so who got a hold of some idea relative to the coming of the Lord. And they sold all their things. They took some scriptures out of context. And they went on a white, they wore a white robe. And they stood on top of a hill and waited for the Lord to come. They said, well, he's going to come tomorrow. So they got on top of the hill, and the Lord didn't come. And all their things were gone. And so we have responsibilities in a practical way, but we should have our lamps trimmed and be wise. And so I just ask that question in relationship to the practical aspect of these things.